Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
An ugly win in the NFL is still a win. But today, the Browns game, the Browns win over the Lions didn't make me feel any better about this Cleveland football team. I'm your host, Josh Bloha, with another official Waiting for Next Year podcast, Browns Instant Insights Edition, here with Joe Gilbert, like usual, like we are after every game. Browns just beat the Lions 13-10. I don't even know what to say. Oh, and we're brought to you by Evergreen Podcast Network. We're live on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. But yeah, a win's a win. Yes, I know a win is a win. And I know the Bills just lost again. They got blown out by the Colts. I know other teams around the league are losing. But I mean, to only beat the Lions 13-10 when they didn't have Jared Goff. They had like 57 passing yards. I mean, Joe, what are your thoughts? I know you're at the game.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the win just didn't instill much confidence going forward. It was not anything to write home about, but hey, they got the win. That's all you can ask for, I guess, right now with this, what this team is playing like. So you move on to next week and see what you got there. But yeah, it was this game probably created more questions than answers after this.
Questions that Baker Mayfield will not answer to, by the way, today. He declined. Baker's in a tough spot. Yes, he's the leader of the team. He should never decline the media after a game. But then again, what would he have said that would make things better? Everyone would just question what he said. But then, but as a leader and the quarterback of the football team, I think he has to talk to the media too.
Yeah, I wrote this week. I'm a bit out on Baker right now. It's just ugly, man. It's that game was just pitiful. He couldn't complete. Like I wrote early in the game, Stefanski was getting guys open quite often all day, and he was just flat out missing it. It was just bad, and I at this point, like, you gotta give credit to Stefanski still making it happen, but for him, he's got to come up and just say, "I'm sorry, you're not starting." He's killing me. Baker Mayfield is killing this offense. There's no point of him playing.
Do you know what else he's killing? His future paychecks.
Yeah, that's true too, and just not even answering any questions after the game. That's just. It's not a good situation right now. He's doing everything just to kind of ruin any kind of extension talk or future with his team, really. And the play today was just bad. He kept them in the, he kept the Lions in the game because the Lions team didn't want to stay in this game. Their coaching staff didn't want to stay in this game, but Baker Mayfield, His play kept him in the game, and this made it way more close than it should have been.
I can guarantee you can't read the comment on the bottom of the screen right now if you're watching us live from Ed Hodler, Chef Ed. No. Thanks. You cannot read that and not sing it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
U-G-L-Y, they ain't got no alibi. They ugly. I did not just do that live, but yes, I did.
Yes, you did.
Damn it, Ed Hodler. But yeah, I mean, I saw that and I smirked. I was like, you can't just read that comment and not send it to yourself. Mm-hmm. But seriously, the Browns are pretty ugly. I mean, defensively, they played well today. But it was one, it was a winless Lions, and two, it was a quarterback that has literally never started a game yet.
Right.
Like, congrats. Yeah. Congrats, Ronnie Harrison, for sacking. He like went crazy on the 1 sack. I was like, dude. you should be sacking this guy all day long. Like, I get it. It's the NFL, so a sack's a sack. But, I mean.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not really taking anything out of the performance of defense. They did what they were supposed to do. They shut down a terrible offense. But it doesn't give me any more, like, kind of confidence next week. They're playing I told my dad, I was with my dad at the game. That was one of the worst teams I've ever seen play. And we watched some really bad Browns teams. That Lions team was just not talented. They had two players that were good on either side. It was a bad team. And how we only won by 3 points is just not – it's tough to think about because – yeah, it was just bad, and I don't know what else to say. It was not a fun game to be at.
It wasn't a fun game to watch either. It was not a fun game to watch.
Yeah, it was a miserable. The weather kind of matched the performance. It was rainy all day, and the Browns kind of played sluggish, rainy
football. That should be the Browns slogan from 1989. Cleveland Browns football, where the winter weather matches our performance.
It should be. Yeah, it's and I just going forward off of this, because basically there's not much to talk about this game. They won. They took care of this. It made it a lot more difficult, but they took care of business, and you can't really draw anything off of this game, but you can draw off of Baker Mayfield just not being – he can't be the quarterback next week. I'm saying it now. Like, there's
– wow.
He can't move.
That will lead us to – yes, and I'll – I have some words too, but keep going.
Yeah, he can't move. Like, if he has to throw off his back foot, or if he has to move around in pocket, he's not going to complete a pass. He can't throw deep downfield in the pocket. He threw, I don't know, three or four or five guys over their head. A couple of them were picks, and it's just this is what I was talking about during the game. Like, if we paid Case Keenum $6 million a year, what is the point of him if he can't play when the starting quarterback can't throw the ball downfield, can't run, has three different injuries, and is just playing one of the worst games we've seen him play all year? What's the point of him being on the team? We might as well just have you and me behind him, because he's never going to get in. It's true. It's just a waste of money then. Like, I don't understand why Kevin Stefanski – this has probably been his biggest negative this year, Stefanski. I don't know why he's sticking with him. Like, sometimes you just got to – you got to see what's happening in front of you and say, this is not working, and we need to change it up. And I just don't know – I'm not saying that Case Keenum's going to lead this team to the playoffs or be – but he's got to be better than this. Like, that was terrible. It was just bad. There's not much else to say. If Case is not playing next week, I don't know what to tell you. Like, because Baker's not getting healthier. It's clearly not something that he can get over in a week or so. It's just not good. And if I don't know how Stefanski can't go with Case next week.
Yeah, I know you alluded to it, but what was the point of paying Case Keenum? He is the highest paid backup quarterback in the league for situations like this. So what's the point of paying him that much money if you're just not going to play him? I mean, there's like toughness and grit and leadership only go so far.
Right.
I know even the announcer said, like, Baker's going to earn a lot more respect on the sidelines for gritting this one out. But is he? I mean, at this point, he's playing so hurt that he's hurting the team. It's not even like he's tough anymore. He's hurting the team because he's so hurt. So, like, are his teammates really respecting him more because he's tough? They might be looking at us, dude.
Why?
We know you want to play. We know you want to play football, and we know that you want to show that you're tough and a leader. But, like, at some point, you just need to realize that you are literally hurting the team right now. Like, a 50% Baker is not better than a 100% Case Keenum.
No. And a good leader knows when to step back. Like, he's got to step up. I know he'll play if his arm is broken and all that crap and all that. I respect him for it, but sometimes someone needs to step in and just say, this is not working. You clearly are hurting this team. We have to go with Case. There's nothing else to say. It's just not working, and he's clearly today was like one of the biggest examples of him just greatly hurting this team, because the defense played all right, the run game was all right, it was solid, good, the offensive line was fine. He just
Dude, hold on. Did you just say the running game was all right, solid, good? That was one heck of a description. All right, continue.
Yes, I did say that. I'll go with good. I'll define it as good. But yeah, there was just one thing that kept the Lions in the game. It was Baker Mayfield, because they couldn't complete a pass. He turned it over twice. I heard Stefanski said that after the game that he somehow was still playing, being smart with the football. He had two turnovers, so I'm not sure what's.
Very smart. Very smart. Oh, whoa. You did not need those two.
We don't need us that big.
My apologies to any computer screens I might have just broke. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's something's kind of, there's got to be hard decisions. This is nothing that anyone wanted for this season, but we're here, and Stefanski's got to make the tough choice and do it for the day, especially with the bye week. Maybe these 2 weeks can help. Who knows? But now, he shouldn't play.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to sit him at any point, because let's be honest.
Right.
Next Sunday, you're expecting them to lose at Baltimore primetime. If they win, wow. If they lose, it is what it is. So why not just sit your quarterback and give him 2 weeks off? Well, technically 3 weeks off. Because you'd sit him from now until, well, right. No, I guess it's only 2 weeks, but
yeah,
just sit him and use the bye weeks to your advantage. So Baker gets 2 weeks off. Will that heal him that much? Well, no, it won't heal the torn labrum whatsoever.
No,
but maybe his foot. Yeah. You need to try something, because whatever they're doing right now is obviously not working. So like, yeah, just try something new. Stefanski's in a tough spot because he's also a second-year head coach. He knows that Baker Mayfield has a lot of money on the line this year. I mean, let's be honest, he does. Mm-hmm. I mean, but at some point, you just need to step up and say, "Hey, I'm the head coach. You are literally hurting this team right now with how injured you're playing."
Yeah, you gotta put the team over the player, and I feel like Stefanski has not been doing that lately. Like, he's been really protecting Baker and his feelings and just kind of deflecting any negative talk towards like him as a coach and stuff. Like, sometimes you just gotta tell your player, like, you gotta play better or else someone else is gonna take your spot. And we're at that spot right now.
Man, this is so what I didn't imagine 11 weeks into the season, but here we are. The Browns are 6-5, but if you told me that they were 3-8, I'd still believe you. It's just like I'm usually optimistic toward the Browns, but I have no optimism right now. Right now, the only thing they have going for them is Nick Chubb.
According to Joe Gilbert, did
all right. It was all right, solid, good. He did all right, solid, good today.
I said 22 carries. Nick Chubb was
He was the running excellent. Game. Let's be honest.
That's true.
Nick Chubb, 22 carries, 130 yards. D'Ernest Johnson, 5 carries, 26 yards, and then Jarvis. Where was that wrinkle in the playbook all the year? By the way, Jarvis motioned in as the Wildcat quarterback. Baker moving like. He was like next to Jarvis, but he was like out wide.
Yeah, it was like the slot back position. It was
and then
weird.
Jarvis takes off for a 16-yard touchdown. The only touchdown, no, my bad, not the only touchdown of the game. Oh, speaking of, we could talk about special teams too. Special teams is even ugly today for the Browns, but we'll talk about that after this.
Yeah.
The running game, the entire reason the Browns won today.
Oh, yeah. Running game. Nick Chubb saved the game. he was the whole offense because the passing game couldn't do much. And yeah, Nick Chubb it just shows you when he's not in the lineup what you're missing, because he makes so much plays out of nothing. He was the savior of this offense. He won them the game. He did. Because if they didn't have him, they would have lost. It was clear as day because he put it away in the fourth quarter there. But yeah, thank God we have Nick Chubb. That's all I have to say. Thank God.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. I mean, it's nice to have a good running game, but when your quarterback is playing this poorly, the Ravens, let's be honest, the Ravens are going to probably put seven guys in the box easy, maybe eight, and force Baker to beat you. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if they play without – maybe if DPJ comes back, he'll give him sort of like a deep threat. Mm. But if DPJ is not playing and Anthony Schwartz isn't playing with that deep threat capability either, just go all one-on-one and just force – actually, let me rephrase that. Hopefully Baker's not playing next week.
Yeah.
But if he does play, I would just play one-on-one and force Baker to beat you.
Yeah, Don't let Baker beat you. Right, and that's another way of how it's affecting them. Like, because we can't do much in the passing game, they are just loading the box. The Detroit Lions did that today, and we still kind of were still successful. But they were loading the box too. They had one single high safety almost for a lot of the game. It's just showing that like even like the opposing defenses know what this offense can do. They know they can't pass right now, and they know that the run game is the backbone, and that's not good when a defense knows what you are and can scheme against it. Like, especially obviously this defense was not good enough to actually go about executing it, but like next week when we play Baltimore, they're going to be good enough to do that. So I just hope to God that Case Keenum starts next week, because that they'll at least have a chance next week. I really, with the way Baker played today, I don't know how you win with him playing like that. You don't, I don't think, against Baltimore.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the schedule because I know Ken Pawaski, he commented this about 7 minutes ago. Who are we beating from here on out? Win is a win, but it just masks how bad we are. Chubb won us the game.
Yeah,
I mean, he's not wrong. We just talked about that. So the rest of the season, the last six games, at Baltimore, home against Baltimore, home against the Raiders, at Green Bay, at Pittsburgh, home against the Bengals. They will probably only be, I mean, unless something significant changes, they will probably only be favorites to win one of those games, which is home against the Raiders. And that's a big if. They might not even be favored in that game either.
Yeah, they probably will.
And if we're still talking playoffs, 6-5, they probably have to finish the season 4-2 at the worst to have a shot to make the playoffs. That would put them at 10-7, and even then, that's iffy.
That's true, probably. Yeah.
So if you lose in Baltimore next weekend, you have to win four of your last five games. So, I mean, I'm not talking like – I know that's like the wide picture. But then again, it's week 11, and the Browns had super – not only playoff aspirations, but Super Bowl aspirations. So at some point, you start talking playoffs and be worried about the Browns not even making the playoffs.
Yep. Yep. That's where we're at right now, guys. Fun times.
Good times. Good times in Cleveland. Good times.
Well, pretty much we can – the next 2 weeks is going to tell us if we have a chance or not. So we'll know if we win both of them, but if we get
positive, all right, thoughts, come on.
And then if we get swept, these next two games will definitely, it's going to decide the season probably. If we get swept and don't win, you can start looking at the quarterbacks. Not in the draft, because
I would say the draft quarterbacks.
I know I see there's a comment on the side there from Mark that do a deep dive on the draft, but that's
no, 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 no. He's saying take a dive as in like tank, I think.
I got you.
Mark Nolte, maybe? Take a dive and draft a franchise quarterback. I think he's talking about tanking, but the Browns have technically – oh, I didn't mean to hit that. The Browns have technically already won too many games to get a top-tier quarterback.
Yeah.
But then again, they're, plus, let's be honest. This is not the year to do one. This is not the year. I mean, yeah. I think Kenny – is it Kenny Pickett from Pittsburgh? Probably the best quarterback in the class. But even then, I saw one of the draft guys – I think it was Dame Brudler said that none of the quarterbacks this year would have been a top-five quarterback last year.
Oh, yeah. The Ole Miss guy is also good. But, yeah, this is not the year. And this is not the team to put a rookie quarterback – I really think like this off season. I don't want to talk about this right now, but well, I'll just say this: this off season, we're not drafting a quarterback. This is going to be a off season where they're going to look for a veteran improvement, and that's like in hopefully they can maybe pry away Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers or one of those top guys. Or
man, this can we can have such a clickbaity headline for a podcast if the Browns are like out of the playoffs in the next few weeks, and just do like Josh and Joe talk about Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers trades to the Browns. I hate clickbait headlines, but let's just do one sometime. My bad. The clickbait headline would read like Josh and Joe discuss the Browns potentially getting a Pro Bowl quarterback in a trade.
Sources say, but yeah, that's just what I'm talking about. I still believe this is a win now situation. The talent is here. We clearly know that. It just hasn't come together, and I don't know how much you can blame on just one guy, but it's the way the quarterback is playing right now. It's not hard to see. I posted that they were making Stefanski was getting guys open with his play calls today, and I got so many comments on Twitter. I know, don't say it, Josh. I know Twitter, but there's just so many comments like, what are you guys like, what are you watching? Like, I want the rosy glasses towards Baker needs to, stop. Off of Twitter. But it just if you want this team to be better than the 99 team, fine. Go ahead and you're already there. Baker is already better than every other quarterback they've had since 99. But that's not what you want. Like, that's not the ceiling of what you want this team to be. And you shouldn't expect that. Like, just being better than Derek Anderson, Brady Quinn.
Do you know what you should expect, though?
Yes.
To always have negative comments from Browns Twitter on Twitter, especially during a game.
Well, this is not even – yeah. But it's just an overall, it makes no sense. Like, you guys, if you want
Twitter or Browns Twitter? Because Twitter makes no sense, but go on. I'm just going to keep on harping on this. I cannot believe discussion off with, I got comments on Twitter. And I knew that it was like a slope that was only going to go downhill. But continue.
This is not just pure Twitter. I know people that have this opinion too. And it just goes to the overall argument that we will
probably Twitter sucks.
Well, yes. You're never going to let me get this point off, are you? As I was saying, it just goes to the overall point that I don't know what ceiling Baker has right now, and that's going to be probably the biggest question this offseason. Like, what kind of ceiling does this team have with Baker as their quarterback? And if it's just one win in the playoffs and hopefully get in there, then you probably have to look elsewhere. And that's where that's where we're at. I didn't expect this. I thought he was going to make a jump this season. I said it on this podcast before the season. I thought he was going to have a huge kind of blasting off here, and it's gone backwards quickly.
I think the problem here is that when you said ceiling and it being Christmas season, well, not technically. Christmas time starts Friday, but besides that, I immediately thought of the movie Elf. And just imagine, like, Baker being the elf where, like, the ceiling's too low. But that's all I'll say about that. Do you get where I'm going? Do you understand where I'm going with that?
I do.
Okay. I so badly, like, Baker and Collins, I think I brought this up.
Oh, yes.
Earlier, a few weeks ago.
I know what you're
comparisons between Baker Mayfield and Collin Sexton are, like, there's more comparisons than anything. Yeah. One, they're easy for Cleveland fans to like.
Yep.
Two, they work their asses off. Let's be honest. Yeah. Their work ethic, they work their asses off.
They're tough as
Three,
nails.
Because, yes, they're tough. Four, you want them so badly to succeed, yeah. But, like, they're doing everything on the court and on the field to not – and now that they're both hurt, now it's even more comparable. But I know this is Browns podcast. I want so badly. Mm-hmm. Imagine Baker Mayfield being the guy that brings the Super Bowl to the Cleveland. You know what I mean? I it's just one of those things, but I don't know if he's
like,
the guy.
How many times have we said, oh, he fits Cleveland? Like, he does, but like.
He gets us. The hashtag gets us.
He gets us. It's just the play is just not there, man. It sucks. It really sucks, dude, because I wanted him so much to be the guy. And he just simply hasn't been. And he's going backwards. And it's going backwards fast. Like, this is one of his worst games of his career today. It was bad.
Well, besides last week, which shows you how bad things are.
Which, right? Yeah. that was an overall bad game. But yeah, it was...
Well, I was expecting to be on here for 27 minutes, but it's been like 25 minutes of Baker talk, so that shows you where this thing's going.
And we didn't talk about the special teams yet.
Jamie Gillen. I think the Browns had the ball at the 45-yard line. So, like, most kickers would be like, all right, just either make them fair catch it inside the 10 or at least kick inside the 10. If it bounces in the end zone, it bounces in the end zone. The guy fair caught it at the 19-yard line. Like, what the hell are you doing?
He never got
excuse my language. It was like a 27-yard punt on the 45. Like, the worst case scenario is it bounces in the end zone and they get the ball to 20. You don't never let a guy fair catch at the 19.
No. He had five punts for 37.8 yards. That is terrible, man. That is
terrible. Just terrible. Who said that, by the way? Who is that terrible guy? That's just terrible. But yeah, Jamie Gillen's another one. Scottish Hammer. I want him so badly to succeed, yeah. But like, I don't think he's it either. And then, no. I mean, there's only Chase McLaughlin. He's been great all year.
Yeah,
he missed an extra point today, and didn't he miss a field goal?
Well, he got blocked. That's right. And then, yeah,
whatever. I knew it was one of those things, but
yeah.
And then there's literally, besides the Browns running game, I mean, the defense did well, yes, but they also went against, I don't even know the guy's first name, Boyle. Tim. I don't even know this first name. Tim. Tim Boyle. They went against Tim Boyle.
Tim.
I could not tell you a Lions receiver that recorded a pass. I think, like, St. Brown maybe was one.
I'm on
St. Brown.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know the quarterback's first name, and I couldn't name a receiver. That shows how irrelevant that offense is. DeAndre Swift is a great running back, but, like, that's all they have.
That's it.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about TJ Hawkinson.
Those are the only two people that you can tell. And then their tackle is Penei Sewell, the guy.
Yeah, and then their left guard their left guard is from Ohio State and their right tackle is from Ohio State. Taylor Decker and Jonah Jackson, which Jonah Jackson got the unnecessary roughness call or whatever. It was during a TV timeout and it came out after the game that he said something about someone's mom and that's why he got it. So I love to hear what he said about someone's mom that he got a 15-yard penalty for it.
Yeah. And those are the Ohio State linemen that you were like, I don't think I really want those guys. So, yeah.
It's bad. Like, the fact that the Browns only won 13 cents today, there's a reason why we're so negative throughout this podcast. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, they were 13.5-point favorites and won they didn't even score 13 points. Nope. They were 13.5-point favorites and didn't even score 13.
Like, Vegas.
Didn't even score 14. My bad.
Even know what Vegas was thinking. Like, did you guys watch last week?
Vegas is thinking, oh, Josh Poloha might do a 7-point teaser on the Browns. Yeah, let's just put it at 13.5. That's exactly what Vegas is thinking. But it's just so, I don't know. Maybe Sunday night, things will change.
Shock the world. Let's go, Cleveland. Shock the world.
Cleveland versus everyone.
Seriously, if you guys...
It's so cliche. It is so cliche.
If we want to come on here, act positive, Browns have to show it on Sunday. Go out.
I'll be completely honest. It was a few weeks ago where Joe and I came on here. It was like literally we started at like 12:45, 1 o'clock. And I was miserable the next day at work because I didn't fall asleep till like 3 a.m. So if Sunday night's ugly, I know we do this post-game podcast after every podcast or after every game, but it might be like a Monday night after work then. Hopefully it's not. If they win, it will be on here immediately.
Oh, yeah.
But I hate writing super negative stuff, and I hate even more talking about it on a podcast.
Yep.
It's just not fun.
Nope.
So, yeah. I'm surprised we've been on here for 31 minutes already. My final thoughts are the Browns are 6-5. Yay. But, like, what's there to be positive about right now?
Yep. And mine are, please, God, please, can I see Case Sakino? Please.
Oh, and speaking of, JOK comes back from that ankle injury, re-aggravates the injury today. So I'm not hearing anything. I didn't see the press conference or anything. Yeah. I'm assuming he's going to go back on the IR. If it's the same ankle injury, so that's a huge loss too in the linebacker. Mm-hmm. Like the Browns, like I said, the Browns won ugly. Ugly win in the NFL, especially in the NFL, is still a W, but it's hard to be optimistic about this team right now, which sucks a lot.
Yep.
But here we are. So thanks for joining us, guys.
Yeah.
Ed Hodler, thank you for making me sing that song, UGLY. I'm not gonna do it again because I even dance and white men can't dance. That perfectly describes me. But
wrong movie.
No, I know it's white man can't dance.
No, white man can't jump.
Well, I can't jump either. White man can't dance. There's like some sort of saying, but white man can't jump. That also describes me. So either way, it's a strategy.
We need to get off her.
But yeah, thanks for joining us, guys. Sorry it was Baker talk and super negative talk, but I mean, it's just the reality of the situation right now.
Yep. Shock the world, Cleveland.
Cliche. Cleveland versus isn't Cleveland versus everyone? Which Cleveland is literally Cleveland versus the world, which is the most cliche t-shirt. That is such a Cleveland company t-shirt.
Hey, well, obviously, we are the Cleveland t-shirt.
Cleveland company. Versus we're, the world.
We're the t-shirt capital of the world right here.
Usually, I hope a Cleveland t-shirt company makes a t-shirt that literally says we are the t-shirt capital of the world.
Probably do.
But thanks for joining us, guys. Like I said, like 3 times in the last minute. Hopefully we'll be on here next Sunday night or Monday morning, whatever you want to say. But yeah, Browns 6-5. They just beat the Lions 13-10. They play at Baltimore next Sunday night, primetime, 8:20 start. Maybe I know Joe wants Keenum to start. I'm sure a lot of Cleveland does because of all the booze in the stadium today. I guess we'll find out.
I'm sure some of the teammates do too.
Exactly. No, they, according to the announcers, they all think it's super tough. Thanks for joining us, guys. We'll be with you, or we'll be back next week. See ya.
See ya.
What was it like to be there for historical sports moments and unforgettable performances? To be behind the scenes? On Press Box Access, you'll hear from me, Todd Jones, and other sports writers about their experiences with the greatest athletes, coaches, and sports events of the past half century. We'll share some stories behind the stories, some big, some small, and some we've only told each other. Let us buy you a round on Press Box Access.